children's church this morning. I know we've got nursery for any of the young children back there. All of my crew is sick. Errol and them's got strep throat, and Aaliyah and them's got stomach virus. So that kind of, Leah just texted me and this morning and said, "Hey, no children's church today with the holiday and my bunch throwing up all night. So we'll our kids can just soak up some of this." I love children's church, but there's something powerful in this as well. I like a good mix of the both. I do. Because I want to tell you something, guys. I was, Thursday, as we did this wedding over at Sugar Hill, Sydney, Hannah, and Caroline were flower girls in it, and both of them wore white dresses, and I got really messed up when they were walking down the aisle. And I got thinking about how every little girl, it's just built in their DNA to dream about that. From a child. Nobody had to teach Sydney Hannah about that stuff. And as she got out there and after we had the meal and the band was playing and then we got out there and people started dancing and all of that, and it was just real beautiful and just classy and everything. And Sydney Hannah, that girl, if her hair had been in a bun, there would have been no bobby pins left and it would have been all stringing down here and all of that stuff. I leaned over to Brett and I said, "I guarantee you, she's already in her 5-year-old mind planning her own wedding." Because she was around the presence of something that was full of hope, it was full of love, it was full of purity, and that attracted her, and that sucked her in. That was the Kool-Aid that got her, if you will. And that's more powerful than anything, guys. That's more powerful than us getting all, I want correct doctrine, but that's more. I want to tell you something about correct doctrine and all of that stuff. You know, the Word says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." It doesn't mean that they perish for a lack of understanding the Word. That knowledge means the knowledge that I know her when I had intimacy with her. All of a sudden, I'm in a place of knowledge of who she is. And she's knowledge of her. That's what it's talking about. He didn't say that you're perishing because you ain't got the Word nailed down right. It says you're perishing because you don't know Him in an intimate way. And I'm really, really, really just trashed over the invitation. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will. We'll get that in a little bit. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Numbers. The Lord gave me a prophetic word. I'm going to be totally prophetic this morning and release a word to you guys. With so many people not here today for various things, I bet the Lord will have me release this again. But I want you to totally give yourself to this moment. I think this is very, 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 very significant for us. It goes in line with what I was just saying right there. The Lord spoke to me this week, and He began to talk to me about the budding of God's chosen. The budding of God's chosen. He began to talk to me about the budding of the rod and giving you some background on this. It's talking about Aaron's rod. Just the backdrop of where we are, and I won't go through all the scripture. Did I say number 17? Y'all go to number 17. The backdrop of this starts in Exodus chapter 28. And God came in and God chose Aaron and his household to be priests before Him. Okay? In Exodus 28, God came in and chose Aaron and his household to be priests before Him. We are in the Exodus stage, and after this generation, it was supposed to have been the conquest stage, the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going into the Promised Land. We know what happened in Numbers 13. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and they totally, because of unbelief and lack of faith, they dropped the ball on going into the Promised Land. It was theirs for the taking at that time. It wasn't a thing of, "Well, it's not my time and it's not my season." It was their time. It was their season. It was God's desire and God's intention for them to enter into that. And they totally dropped the ball because there was a report of 10 that was greater than the report of 2. Don't let the majority's opinion dictate your course of action. Okay? Don't let that dictate your course, even if it makes the most sense. Because one thing I'm found about God is He doesn't always make the most sense. That His ways are not our ways, they're higher than our ways, and sometimes they are, to be quite honest with you, they're odd. They are very odd. And they contradict the American dream so often. So the children of Israel will come to this place, and I've got several pages of notes here, but just the backdrop, they've had years of wandering. Israel had failed to enter into the promised land in Numbers chapter 13. They did not enter into that. The people were frustrated with their lives, and so they blamed Moses and Aaron. Korah, in the chapters 15 and 16, Korah was a Levite. Aaron was a Levite. Now this is important. Y'all kind of latch on to this. One of the 12 tribes were the tribes of Levi. The Levites were supposed to minister to the Lord, right? Everybody knows that. Everybody got that. That was the tribe that was chosen to minister to the Lord. If you put it in our terminology today, that was the church folks. Within that group of people, though, God came to Aaron and God said, "You're going to be my priest. And you're going to come before me and you're going to minister to me in a more intimate way. You're going to minister to me in ways that these other people cannot minister to me in." And it was a flat-out thing that God chose them. It wasn't that Aaron consecrated himself more and did this, 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 and this. Although I believe there are things that attracts God's choosing. And we're going to get to that if we have time this morning. But God specifically chose Aaron and his household and said, "I choose you. I choose you to be the priest." You've got Levites, you've got priests, all right? Well, in the midst of their frustration, Korah, which is a leader of the Levites, he comes in and he's like, "Moses, Aaron, what makes you better than everybody else? What makes y'all think that y'all can hear God's voice, and what makes y'all think y'all can make all the spiritual decisions for our nation? Are we not Levites also? Are we not of the same tribe of you?" And it wasn't even a thing where they came to Abraham and said, "This thing that you bear is too much. Let us help you to redistribute the weight." Theirs was the thing of, "We're just as gifted as you. We're just as talented as you. We've got just as good a skill set, perhaps a greater skill set than you. Moses, I'm sharper than you. You can't even speak plainly. You have to have a mouthpiece for you. So we want to come in, and what makes you think that you're way up here and we're right here?" And so Korah led a rebellion, God called it a rebellion, against what God had set up and established. And so you know what God did? God said, "Y'all separate yourself from these jokers." And so Korah and these three other families stood in their tent with their families, and God opened the earth up and swallowed them. Killed them. Just like that. Instead of the people coming and saying, "Whoa, we better check ourselves and look at what God's doing and what God's saying," they came to Moses and Aaron the next day and they said, "Y'all kill good men. It's y'all's fault." Do you know what God's response was? "I'll kill all of you. Moses, Aaron, y'all back off and let me kill all of them." And so a plague hit. And it started moving through the company of people. And I love Moses' heart in this. So often I can relate to Moses, because a lot of times Moses would come in and Moses was like, "God, they're your people. You can have them and you deal with them. You kill them. Whatever you want to do, they're yours." And then other times God was like, "Moses, they're your people. You better back off. I'm going to kill them all and I'll start something fresh." And Moses is like, "Oh God, please don't. I love these people." Any leader, I think, in church can relate to both. But I love Moses' heart in this. Moses says, "Get a censer, Aaron, and go in among the people and begin to sanctify and make atonement for the people, for their sin, for their attitude and all of that." And so when he ran in, and Aaron is the type of Christ in this, and we won't get into all that teaching, but he comes in among the people and he begins to make atonement for their rebellion and their sin and all this, and God stopped the plague. Not after 14,700 people died in the one day of the plague. But God stopped the plague. And so then God comes in, and that's where we are in this. God comes in chapter 17, and let's read a little scripture, and then I'm going to release this word. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 1, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers. Of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Now notice that wording. I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. When I murmur against those that God has put in me, around me, and over me, you know what I'm doing? I'm murmuring against Him. I think the American church has failed miserably in our approach to leadership. Whether it's on the local level, you said, I don't like politicians. I can't say, I don't love them either. But here's the deal. God put them in authority over us. And we're hamstringing our children by coming in and dogging out every coach that they ever had because they're idiots. Starts in T-ball. He don't know what he's doing. He just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're setting your child up for failure. Dogging out all the teachers that they've had. Dogging out the principals. Used to, if you got in trouble at school, you got in double trouble at home. Now if you get in trouble at school, the parents go up and cuss out the teacher or threaten to sue them. Mistreating my child. I didn't like it when I got in trouble at school. I'd get a paddling at school. You know what, Kenny, I knew when I got home it was going to be worse at home. I was like, oh, snap. And it didn't help that my mom was a teacher. Because she found out everything. And they didn't play fair because the teachers at high school called my mom and say, why ain't Sidney at school today? So I don't know. I thought he was at school today. He must be fishing. But things have so shifted, and what we're doing is we're hamstringing a generation and we're hamstringing ourselves. We're getting us where we cannot run this race because we're murmuring about everything that is said over us and we're not praying and interceding and all of that stuff. And the church has failed miserably in this. And if it's not our guy, if it's blue instead of red, or if it's red instead of blue, you know, I see it today. I saw the church, you know, cursing Obama for 8 years and the liberals for 8 years, and now and all the Democrats are like, y'all shouldn't be like that, and all of that stuff. And then Trump gets elected, and now all of them is protesting, running around saying, not my president. Guess what? I got news for you. Yes, he is. If you're a citizen of the yes, he is. And I don't mean to run a rabbit, but here's the thing, guys, is they come in and God viewed this as murmuring against Him when they murmured against Moses. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to make this thing cease. Killing Korah and his families didn't do it. You'd think that would have shut things down a little bit. Then they come in and say, you shouldn't treat them so bad. Y'all had them killed. So God says, I'll wipe out all of you, 14,700 people later, after Moses and Aaron interceded for them. Then the plague was stayed, and God said, okay, here's what we're going to do. He said, I want you to take everyone, the tribe, the 12 tribes, I want you to take a rod, a dried rod, and I want you to bring it and write the name of the leader of the tribe on that rod. And I want you to bring it and I want you to put it, and we're going to put it in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord said, the one that I chose, I'm going to make that rod blossom. I'm going to make it bud and blossom. Verse 6, and Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. For each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among the rods. Here's the thing, something important here, guys. Don't be lost on this. They brought their rod with their name, their identity inscribed on that thing, and they brought it to the Lord. Moses didn't go out here and gather and get 12 rods and said, Aaron's, Moses was a tribe of Levi too. And say, I'm going to pick the best rod for him. Everybody brought their own rod. Notice this. God did not specify, I've never seen this until studying for this. I've never seen this, but God did not tell them what type of rod to bring, did he? You can't see it. He said, I just want you to bring a dried rod. And the one that I choose is going to bring life. I'm going to bring life to it. We're going to go back to that. That's an important point this morning in this prophetic word I want to share with you. And Moses, verse 7, laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Word of warning to us, guys, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? And then the Lord goes in and begins to talk to Aaron and the Levites in their privileges and responsibilities. And we'll catch this at a later date. But I want to release a word that the Lord gave me for 2017. I feel like the Lord said that 2017 was going to be a year of the budding of the Lord's chosen. The budding of the Lord's chosen. I just want to read some notes that I wrote here so that I can kind of get this right. I believe that 2017 will be a year when God's choosing is manifested. A year when dry rods bear not only the sign of God's choosing, but fruit. A revealing, if you will. The world is looking at us, even Christians, and asking, what is the difference? They have similar or even greater skills and giftings, but it is not about that. It is about God's choosing. It is about His invitation to come to a deeper place. Which rod will you choose? One that has the capacity to bear almonds? It's not about heaven or hell. Now listen to this. Listen to what I'm trying to say on this word, or what God's trying to say to us. Is that a lot of us, as we are clothed, and tying it in with what He spoke a while ago, we are clothed in the clothing of disappointment. And it's been a hedge for us. It's been a buffer for us, a security for us, that I'm in a season where I'm disappointed and it's been a bad year and the world looks at me. And I really don't want the world to look at me because I don't look much like Christ right now. I don't look much like the bride of Christ. I'll tell you something about a bride, a true bride in this. There is a glow in them before intimacy and a glow after intimacy. Thirsty radiated with glow and hope, didn't it, Linda? I mean, His presence just filled that sanctuary. Filled that sanctuary. And the whole thing was such a sense of expectation of what is about to be. And it was an invitation from God about what is about to be. And it was tangible, you could feel it. And there was a glow about that on her. There was a glow about that on them. There was a glow about that even on the groomsmen and the bridesmaids. I've been doing weddings for 20-something years, and I did something Thursday I've never done before. I felt so overwhelmed by the collection of people that were there. The groomsmen, they came in, but when we were in the little groom's room before the thing started and all that, and I've done them where they've been in there and they've been drinking and doing shots and all of that stuff, and I'm not knocking any of that stuff. I'm just saying this was superior. Because the groomsmen came in, and you know what they said? They said, "Is it okay if we pray with David right now?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so we got in a circle, and every one of those men began to pray over him, and pray over Ashton, and pray over the wedding ceremony and all that. And I was moved by that. And I get up on the stage and up there, and during the sermon, and there's just a sense of invitation and what God is doing, felt by all. And like I said, I've been doing weddings for 20-something years, and I said, as we're about to pray a prayer of blessing over them, usually I'll get the congregation, y'all extend your hand and all of that stuff. I said, I want all the bridesmaids and groomsmen up here on the platform with us. And so all these girls are shifting up there in their dresses and all of that, and we're all of a sudden we just start surrounding the bride and groom. And there was such a sense of this collection of people. It's saying yes to the invitation, yes to the blank page of what God was about to begin to paint on that canvas in their lives. And it was so powerful because it was a moment of God's choosing. It's like God had chose, you know, this couple. His hand's going to be on them. And His hand, and the people recognized that. And they were gravitated to that. And they undergirded that and they supported that. That's one thing I tell them. I charged them. I mean, I did a charge conference in the middle of that thing. I charged the groomsmen and the bridesmaids. And I said, not only are you to be iron that sharpens iron, but you're to be the undergirding in their life, the undergirding of what God is doing right here in all of this. And God says, I believe that 2017 is a year of budding to where we're going to come in with our dry rods. Now listen to me. Mark, we're going to come in with our dry rods. And in this year, the world and the church is going to begin to see God's choosing in our lives. The fact that God chose you. And it wasn't because you got a better skill set. It's not because you're more anointed. It's not because you're a better guy. It's not because you're more faithful, you're more consistent, or anything like that. But God marked you and God chose you a long time ago. Amen. I'll prophesy that over you right now, Mark Dermo. I'll declare that over you. 2017, your rod's going to bud. It's going to bud. And people are going to see that rod budding. And they're not going to declare how great Mark is. They're going to declare how great the groom is because he chose you. And they're going to look at that groom and say, "Whoa, God." And it's going to be attractive to them. And it's not because of your skill set. I release you from the pressure of that, brother. I release you from the pressure of performance. Your rod's not going to bloom because you got it right. Your rod's going to bloom because He chose you a long time ago. You know that. You know He did. There's no escaping that for us. This isn't a matter of heaven and hell. This is a matter not of us loving Jesus or not loving Jesus. There are invitations to rarefied air. They're invitations for deeper intimacy. How many of y'all think Esther was the prettiest girl in the court? How many virgins did they call in? 300 or 400? 500? A lot. I'm not going to sit here and say she was the prettiest girl in the court, and that's why the king chose her. There was something different about her. It wasn't because she was good and bad. She was a virgin. She had zero experience. There are probably other girls equally as beautiful. And we come in and we say, if I can make myself beautiful enough, if I can make myself pretty enough, if I can make myself committed enough, if I can make myself devoted enough, if I can just get back this part and this part and this part, and here's what's going to happen, Brett. God's going to come in and your rod's going to bud even when you ain't getting it right. I've had a hard fourth quarter. I'll go ahead and be honest with y'all. I've had a hard fourth quarter. It's been tough, Robin. I feel like I've got my rear end handed to me in the fourth quarter. It has not been fun. I feel like I've got ulcers right now and just a lot of stuff going on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and everything. But in the midst of all of that, you know what the Lord does? He comes in reminds me that my rod's budding. And it's flowering. And it's bearing almonds. And I was, as I was riding, I told y'all a few weeks ago, as I was riding to Stephanie and Dustin's and just got so overwhelmed by his presence. And he had to remind me, he said, I've chosen you. As my, not just my representative, not just as my faithful servant, but as my bride for these moments of intimacy. I got reminded of that again this week. It's just like, flow with me and be one with me. And we don't have to get everything right. It doesn't have to be hard. It can flow and be easy. Me and Lori had one of our most awesome dates that I can remember yesterday. We did. You know what it was? New Year's, what would you think? Man, you went to Atlanta Fish Market and went out and danced and all that stuff. We got in her car and we drove to Lafayette, Georgia with a coupe in the back of her little car and we picked up chickens. And we drove through the countryside and we weren't worried about the quickest way. We drove through the countryside up through Armucci and all of that. And we went to this old farmer's house and went out and we picked out chickens. A raccoon got a bunch of our chickens. And so we went and we picked out chickens. And we were picking out chickens. And we just had such a great time, awesome time of visiting with each other. Such an awesome time of intimacy with each other. And then when we got back in, you can imagine 2-hour ride with 8 chickens in a coop in a confined car. Kathy, I texted my girls. We came through Rome, and the hot sign was on Krispy Kreme. So you know what we did? You say, I thought you was prophesying this. I am prophesying. I'm trying to tell you something. And so I texted the girls. I said, we have this strange conflict of aroma in this car. Hot Krispy Kreme donuts and chicken poop. It's pretty good. I ate 3. Just saying. Can't stop a man when they're hot. And so we came in and we just had conversation and we had fellowship and we had obviously no physical. You know, we're sitting here like, I said, I'm so glad I married a FarmersOnly.com girl. I did. I told her that. But here's the thing, guys. Is in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our inadequacies, in the midst of our seasons of clothed in disappointment, God come in and God's declaring. He says, "I'm going to make your rod bud in the midst of these people." And they're not going to declare. Nobody walked away and say, "Aaron is awesome." But everybody walked away and said, "God chose him for whatever reason. God chose him." And here's the thing. God chose him for something more than just being a Levite. And I want to address everybody in here today that you feel like you know that God has invited you to more than just being saved. Than just being, I'm escaping hell and I'm going to heaven. He's invited you to more than that. He's invited you to go the extra mile. He's invited you to come to some places. That's who I'm addressing this morning. And you know it. You know a stirring. Some of y'all, when I was declaring that over Mark, you were tearing up in your eyes because of the same thing. That wasn't just to you, Mark. That was to about 30 people in here. Me included, brother. Me included. Because I know the invitation and the look that he has for me. I know what his desire is. And God comes in 2017. And here's the thing, guys. He comes in 2017 and he says, I'm going to make your rod bud. And I'm going to make it bloom. And everybody's going to see that. And you know what happened with Sydney Hannah? And she does this with a lot of weddings. But you know what happened with Sydney Hannah on Thursday? She got sucked into that. You know how we've tried to reach the world? We've tried to reach the world with better music, with better sermons, with better programs, with coffee bars, right? With life groups. We said, this is how we're going to get them. We might catch a few like that, but you know how you really get them? You know how you get a group of people to believe in the institution of marriage? You let them attend a wedding like they attended Thursday. I told them going in, I said, we are pursuing perfection. I mean, purity today, not perfection. Our pursuit is purity and not perfection. And I had every one of those, not every one of them came up, but I guarantee you, every one of those bridesmaids and those groomsmen left believing and hoping and endearing themselves to marriage. Because they saw that and they said, that's what I want. That's what I want. Had several of them come up and say, that was awesome. I've been in a lot of weddings, but I've never been in anything like that. And it wasn't because I was super anointed, but it was because there was an invitation in the room for intimacy between two people and between a God that comes in, and He caused their rod to bud. And everybody there saw that budding of the rod. Didn't they, Lori? Didn't they, Linda? You were there. They saw that rod budding. They saw that rod flowering. And you know what it stirred? Not only the 23-year-old bridesmaids that were standing there, that tears were streaming down their face, it stirred the 5-year-old flower girl too. And the way that we will reach the world is when God so kisses us that our rod buds. He's adorning us. You know, He says, I'll give you beauty for ashes. He's adorning us with His yes. That's the beauty of the cross. We want the God that walked through the covenant in Genesis 15, and He said, I really want to be the God that hung on a cross on Golgotha's hill and made myself vulnerable to you. That's what I really want to be. And even trump that and come in and said, not only will I do that for you in that moment, but now I'm going to release myself and let my spirit live inside of you. Right now, what your family needs to see right now, with your mother and your cousin and these people, they need to see your rod budding, not how awesome Robin is, but they need to see God's kiss on your life. They need to see God's kiss on your life. You know how I can, one way I can tell if I've been intimate with people, and I'm not talking about physical intimacy from a sexual standpoint or anything like that. But if I've been intimate with people as far as ministering to them in a death situation or something or a wedding or anything like that, if I ever have makeup on my collar, if I ever have makeup on my collar, I think I've got this. Is there like a some kind of stained black? You know what that is? That's mascara. You know what that's from? Tears. And it's not mine. I don't wear mascara. And it's not Lori's. And it's been there for about a month now. And this shirt gets washed every time I wear it. I got about 3 white tees I wear that I put under my button-ups. And this is one of them. I thought I noticed it when I put it on. You know what that is? That's a mark of intimacy. That someone that I was praying with and someone that I was ministering was so close to me. They were so close in bearing their soul. You know what they were doing? It left a mark. Their tears and the mascara left a mark on here. And we go through life and we don't want to have that from God. We want to be guarded from God, that I don't want to get that close because it might mark something and it might stain something. But you know what that is? That's a sign that something right was taking place. And this budding rod that God's talking about 2017, this is what He's talking about, Nick. It's not talking about this and saying, look how strong a Christian I am, and look how great I am, and look how awesome I am, but it's look at the tear stains. The women that came in and washed Jesus' feet, what did they wash them with? Tears and hair. You can't get any more intimate than that. If they had been wearing mascara, you know what's going to be on His feet? Mascara stains. That's the thing about the spikenard. They smelled that the next day. And you know what that was? That was the sin of love. That was the sin of worship. That was the sin of adoration. That was the sin of forgiveness is what that was. And they smelled that the next day. And you know what? That was what did Jesus say? He said, leave her alone, for this will be a testimony for her. You know what that was? That was her rod budding. I'm not standing up here today and saying 2017 is going to be a breakthrough year for you and your finances. I've had breakthrough years in finances, and if I miss this, it doesn't matter. I've had upside down years in finances where it was a struggle, but if this is not right, it doesn't matter. If this isn't taking place between me and the Lord, that's not a budding rod. That's a Levite saying we can do it just as good as you. And you know what God did? God said, yeah, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kiss somebody. What did Jesus tell? The Lord just spoke this to me. What did Jesus tell John at the Last Supper? He's like, Lord, who's going to betray you? He said, the one that kisses me. That's a sign to you. And here's going to be, you want to know how to reach the world this year? Here's the sign on how to reach the world in 2017. Let them see God kiss you. Let them see God kiss you. Let them see the lipstick on your cheek. Let them see the mascara on your collar. Not necessarily from a person, but from Him. Let Him smell His fragrance on you. I can't smell, but there was the fragrance of purity Thursday. In the natural, I can't smell, but I smelled it, the fragrance of purity. That was God's kiss. That's going to be the sign for you this year. That's going to be the sign that God's thing is your rod's going to bud this year. I'm not saying you're going to be a more dynamic minister. I'm not going to say any of these things. But you will look and smell like one that is loved. And this might, I'm not even saying y'all were going to have a, this is going to be a great year in the physical or anything like that. I'm not going to declare that. We hear that every year. I'm not going to declare that. This is your breakthrough year. The thing that's going to make this your breakthrough year is the one that chose you and said yes to you. That's what makes it your breakthrough year. So he came in and he says, dude, I know you ain't got it going on. In my difficult fourth quarter, she's been more endearing to me than she has ever been in bountiful quarters. Her kiss is upon me. Help me keep my sanity. That and His kiss that's upon me. And that's what the Lord spoke to me. That this is going to be a year of the budding rod. Let me throw one thing on that, and I'm not going to develop. We'll develop this more Wednesday night and probably next Sunday too. But let me throw one more thing on this. Aaron's rod, not only did it bud and blossom, but what else did it do? Produced fruit, almonds. Did God promise that in there? What did He simply say? It's going to bud. The one that I choose will bud. But there was something about Aaron's approach that caused God to come in and go beyond just causing it to bud. He chose it, caused it to bear fruit. I asked myself a question as I was meditating on this and thinking about this. How many of the other rods brought a branch that had the capacity to bear fruit? God didn't tell them what kind to bring. We got some Bradford pears out here. We just cut one down at my mama's house. Nastiest tree you ever try to split. Good gosh, don't burn. Worth a mess. I mean, you better off just bulldozing it somewhere. But that's, you say, well, it's pretty. It is, but it doesn't bear any fruit. That tree is void of the capacity to bear fruit. I believe that one thing that attracted God to Aaron, obviously he was his chosen, but one thing that attracted God to Aaron, he brought a rod that had capacity to produce fruit. And we come in and we bring rods that do not have the capacity. We give God. And look to the cross. What did I say about the superior covenant? What did he give? Thursday wasn't a coincidence. His presence wasn't a coincidence. You had a collection of people that came in and it attracted God's presence. It attracted God's choosing. End of the day. And you know what that does? It causes Sidney Hanna to want to settle for nothing less. Not a pretty wedding, but a wedding full of presence. His presence. It makes you feel like that. So the question for you this year is, what kind of rod am I bringing? You say it's dry. All of them are dry. I'm going to go ahead and kick your crutch out from under you and say, Brother Sid, the only rod that I've got is dry. All 12 of them were. God told them to bring your dry rods. But Aaron brought one that had the capacity to produce fruit. That's your part in 2017. It ain't got nothing to do with skill set. Got nothing to do with gifting. You get right down to it, Nick. Those kids really aren't that interested if you're even a good coach or not. They just want to know that you love them. They just want to know that you really care about who they are. And that you chose them. In the setting of our rivalry, if you will, with Bremen, Harrelson County, the dynamics in our county and all of that stuff, those kids know that you could have hung around Bremen waiting for TA to retire. But you said, you know what? I'm not going to do that because I feel called to go here and do this. And you did. And you registered your kids, and you say, we're all in now. And you did that. That spoke more to those kids than anything. You brought a dry rod that had the capacity to produce fruit. You know what that does? That attracts the promises of God. It attracts the promises of God. It attracts the promises of God. It attracts the invitation of God. You know what's going to make them want to follow after you? When they see God's kiss on you. When they see God's kiss on your life. You know what's going to want to make Jamie honor you and follow you? When she sees God's kiss on your life. You know what's going to make your children want to follow after you? They say God's kiss on your life. My kids aren't here today, so I'll say that about my... You know why my children want to follow after me and Lori? You say, well, y'all were good parents and y'all were very involved in their lives. Yes. But ultimately, you know why my kids want to follow after us? Because they see God's kiss on our life. And it ain't got nothing to do with stuff. But it's got to do with God's kiss on our life. That's how you're going to touch the world. And it transcends circumstances. Some of you say, man, I got kicked in the gut this year. You can still have God's kiss on your life. I got my feet chopped out from under me. You can still have God's kiss on your life. I faced adversity and death and everything. You can still have God's kiss on your life. I've known people that have gone through the, it's almost like the gutter of hell with God's kiss on their life. And it was one of the most attractive things. One of the most attractive things. This year, God wants to do that in you. That's His prophetic word for you. God's prophetic word is, I'm going to put mascara on your collar. That's His word to you, Jeremy Crane, from this pulpit. Now, I hope He gives you many other words in your personal and in your private life. But from your pastor in this pulpit, God's word for you is, I'm going to make your rod bud. And I'm going to make it bloom. And if you bring the right rod, you not only what it'll do, it'll attract even more than that. And I'll carry you to places of rarefied air. And it'll bear fruit. 24 hours. You say it's going to take a long time. In your mind, I know you, Brett. I pretty well. I think I know pretty well how you think and all of that stuff. In your mind, you know what you're thinking. Man, I just got to work my way back. One step at a time, line upon line, and precept upon precept. You know how long it took for that rod to bud? 24 hours. You know how long it took for it? You say, well, that's good, man. That's the first step. You know how long it took for it to flower? 24 hours. You know how long it took for it to bear almond? 24 hours. They'll follow you not because you got it right. They'll follow you because God's kiss is on your life. It's the most attractive thing about you. It's what draws me to men. It's what draws me to women. When I see God's kiss on their life, that's why I love Heidi Baker. Not just because she feeds 10,000 kids a day. That's awesome, Todd. She feeds 10,000 kids a day. But you know what really draws me to Heidi Baker? I see God's kiss on her life. You know why she's reaching all of these Muslim people in Mozambique? God's given her that nation. You know why she's touching all of them? Because God's kiss is on her life. Because her, it's stained with Him. That's what happened with King Artaxerxes. With Esther. When it Artaxerxes, isn't that one of all these kings? He spent the night with her, and you know what he was doing the next night? He was with some other chick. That was the plan. I'm going to go through all these virgins. I'm going to find the one that pleases me most. But you know what happened after the night with Esther? He couldn't get her off his mind. He was with this other woman, and she was equally beautiful. But he was thinking about Esther. Because there was something about her. And you know what that something about her was? God's kiss on her life. And he said, that's the one. I don't believe he went through every one of them. I believe a short time after that, and I don't know historically all this, but I believe a short time after that, he said, boys, this is a waste of time. There's something about Esther. I choose her. And I can hear his counselors saying, well, you hadn't tried everything else. You hadn't tried all of these girls. He said, I don't need to. There's something different about her. It's God's kiss. God's kiss. Now stand to your feet. Linda, will you come forward? Just begin to play. Start playing pieces, Linda. Your sons want to chase after God. When they see God's kiss on Daddy. You know what will make them believe in marriage? When they see God's kiss on you guys. You know what will make these young girls in here want to be worship leaders, Sonny? When they may see God's kiss on your calling. It's not the beauty of your voice. You got a beautiful voice. I heard 15 people sing last night. Every one of them had a beautiful voice. But it's God's kiss. That's the thing that separates us. That's the thing that makes you beautiful. It's not the physical. But the thing that makes you beautiful is God's kiss on your life. God's kiss on your life. And Hunter will want to marry a woman just like his mama. And you know why he'll want to marry a woman like you? He won't run to the opposite. He'll want to marry a woman like you because he's seen God's kiss on your life. He might, in the natural, he might think, my mom's a little odd. But you know what? It's vaguely attractive. Because it's God's kiss. The women that are remembered and honored in the Bible are the ones that had God's kiss on them. Martha, Martha, Mary's chosen the better thing. She sits at my feet and waits for my kiss. I just want to say God's kiss on your life. Ashley just wants to see God's kiss on your life, Joseph. That's what will make her follow you. You know why Lori's never stopped believing in me? Even when maybe sometimes I've questioned myself, it's because she sees God's kiss on my life. She's like, whew. Whoa. And it'll happen in a second. It'll happen in a day. Quit trying to work your way back, brother. We can't. The journey's too far. The slope's too slippery. He said, I can do it in a moment. Because it's my kiss. It's my kiss. That's what your mama needs to see this weekend. That's what your cousin needs to see. He doesn't need to see a man of God that's going to stand strong and firm. You know what he needs to see? To say.
I'm going to be quick because I know it's getting late, but a couple of months ago, it was probably back in August, September sometime, I had a little kids class and we were outside playing on the volleyball court and they were getting a little rowdy and, you know, Caroline and Zealand, they might be about to start fighting, so I was, okay, we're going to have to get in a circle, we're going to sit down and be still and talk a minute. So I had them sitting down there, and then we were talking. We was getting, who do we need to pray for? And, well, yes, kids who you need to pray for, and they're going to pray for everybody. So we got all that list, and we was out to pray. And I told them, I said, do y'all know that God talks to you, can talk to you? And they said, what? You know, they all had this look of, God can talk to me? And I said, yeah, it's that when you get quiet at night, or you just get quiet, or you just take a minute and listen. I said, at first, sometimes it sounds like your voice inside. But then you'll know it's not that. You'll know that's God. And Sidney Hannah said, I was wondering who that was. She didn't know. She said, I was wondering who that was. And when we got these new chickens yesterday, I went and checked on them this morning. And usually when I pull up to the barn, all my other chickens, they come running out to the gate because they knew, ooh, Mama's here. Mama's here. She's got something good for me. She's going to let us out. She's going to let us run. It's going to be good. Mama's here. And when I pulled up for my new girls this morning, I just saw my little rooster and my other little girl. I'm like, oh, they don't know me yet. So I opened the door and they're still inside. They don't even know they can go outside yet. I got some scratch and I started talking to them and they flew and they were scared. And they didn't know who was going on. And I just realized I'm just going to take some time before they know me. And that's what the Lord's saying for this new year is, if you're sitting there saying, I don't hear God like that, I don't know him like that. He's saying, just spend time with me. And you'll know that I'm safe. I'm going to give you good things. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you hope. And you'll build that trust and you'll know when God shows up, you'll know. Let's run to him. You'll know his voice. So this upcoming year, that you know, we like to have New Year's challenges and sitting, you know, we want our rod to bud with God's favor, but he's saying, spend time with me. Spend time with him, Mary. Spend time with him. That's how you're going to hear his voice more. That's how you're going to know him more. Is to spend that time with him. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Doyle, will you and Kathy come up here, please? I didn't know you guys were going to be here today. I was surprised when I looked back and saw you. I know. I thought Doyle was still in the hospital, though. Lord told me he was in the hospital.